Yay. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, the podcast in which we watch an episode of the Golden Girls and we break it down scene by scene. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have a very special guest, the lovable, the huggable, Zach Stein. Hi, Zach.
Yay.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Thanks for being on the show. Yay. How was your day? You went to softball?
I played softball today. Yeah, I played two games. I subbed for a team and we lost, and then I tied another game. Isn't that fascinating?
That is fascinating.
How was your day? How were your days?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty decorated my house for Christmas, and that's about it. Ate some poke. Pretty good.
I got a haircut. That's what I was doing.
Yay!
Well, yeah.
I hadn't noticed, but it looks good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It was about time. When the faux hawk starts getting like looking like whipped cream.
I got one yesterday.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, great.
So neither of us noticed.
Did you do your own salon?
Yeah.
Okay. I should go to your salon, but this seems kind of expensive.
It's silly.
It's for rich people.
Mm-hmm.
But
I just hope
customer.
You both didn't lose your powers.
I still have the power to. Oh my god! I was gonna. Are you hungry? You were hungry.
Yeah, but I don't want to eat while I'm talking into a microphone. I said I was mildly hungry.
I said
I need a meal. I was looking for light snacking.
What if I'm hungry, Anthony? What
Jenny,
are you gonna do?
Are you hungry? Do I want to feed you? Because I bought chips and queso, but I forgot to like bust it out. Okay, well we can't do it now because we're on the podcast. We watched an amazing episode. A little weird, but great episode of the Golden Girls. But before we get started, we usually like to start by asking our guests, what is the Golden Girls background? But Zach admitted to me that he doesn't have a Golden Girls podcast. So do you want to talk about maybe like your experience today or what you thought it was going to be or what you thought you were going to see? Or did you have any preconceived notions of what we were going to do?
Oh, no, thanks. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, then well, next topic.
I had never even seen like a moment of Golden Girls, and now I have a lot of resentment for everyone in my life as a child who like no one ever said it was good to me growing up, and that's insane. It's so funny.
What did you watch when you were a kid?
Cartoon. The first show an adult got me into that was a little older was Happy Days. And then I'd watch I'd watch Happy Days, Wonder Years. And that really might have been about it from the old shows. And the first Happy Days show I saw was a game show based episode, too.
The first Happy Days?
Yeah, I kind of thought that was like the plot of the show was like the back behind the scenes of a game show. It was a very strange episode.
Oh, this show's all about game shows.
Yeah, I liked it.
That's why it's so happy.
I feel bad because I didn't even offer you a drink. Do you want water or tonic water? It's over there.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm well hydrated.
I am the worst. But I let you sit. I offered you my bed.
He did. My back hurt, and Anthony offered me the greatest accommodations.
The best seat in the house. Mm-hmm. My bed.
But no food.
But
no,
no
food or drink. But bed.
Yes.
But he farted on my bed, so I think we're even now.
Yeah. That's turnabout is fair play, I think, Anthony.
I'm going to be sniffing it later.
Yeah. I did elect to tell you because it wasn't a loud fart.
No, yeah, he did choose to tell me because I didn't hear it.
I don't want to fart on his bed and not tell him.
You did the honorable thing. But go ahead.
I think Emily Post would approve of that behavior. So
what was your...
Before, I had lots of people who recently, in the last 2 years or so, have told me that Golden Girls is very funny, great writing, so and people whose opinions I respect and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I had high expectations. Mm-hmm. That would be good, and it sure met them. The jokes were very funny. It was funny. Two in particular were super topical and relevant. That was, I don't know how often that happens, but that was so interesting. And
yes.
And it was fun. Like, and
I,
then,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And it was funny. And then the Betty White story had heart. It was fun. It was a nice mix. It was, yeah.
It was good.
I like it.
Good. And as we do, so we watched season 7, episode 7. It is titled Questions and Answers. No, wait, not season 7, episode 7. Season 7, episode 17. We are so close to the end. And I keep saying that, but it's true. We can't escape an ending.
Yeah, soon we're going to die. That's
me and Genevieve are gonna die when the podcast ends.
Do you think you could just do it again with brand new guests? For are you excited to be free?
Dead.
Dead.
We'll do it again as ghost.
The ghost den girls.
Yeah, it'd be a little silly.
Thank you for being a ghost.
Ghost.
Travel on down the underworld and back again.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to hell.
Your soul is trapped. There's a veil between the living and dead. The episode is titled Questions and Answers. And the original air date was February 8th, 1982. And as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to do the synopsis for the listener who did not get to watch the episode with us. So go ahead, Genevieve.
All right. Well, first of all, Jeopardy is in town, and Dorothy is very excited. It's her favorite show, so she must audition. And Blanche decides to come along, too, because she's always wanted to have a, in her words, have a Canadian who is not on skates. She's talking about Alex Trebek. So, and, okay, so Dorothy makes it to the next round of the Jeopardy auditions. And meanwhile, Rose gets a dog and then gives away a dog.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And there's a, there's a patient scenario too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's like a candy striper, and yeah, there's a whole thing. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we go scene by scene, and we start with the in the living room. We have Dorothy. I don't know. Has like a flyer or something. She's like, Jeopardy's coming to town. Oh my god! I'm so excited. Jeopardy, like, I didn't know Jeopardy was like a Antiques Roadshow where it could just go town. It was, I didn't know it was like America's Got Talent where it was like in different cities, like, and stuff. But I guess so. Is that a thing? Was that really?
I don't know if it
I mean, they did in the dream. They did say something about like, this is a special episode. We're in Florida, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I think they do travel. I mean, I'm trying to remember, like, Wheel of Fortune definitely travels because sometimes they'll, like, go somewhere like Hawaii and then you'll see, like, palm trees in the background.
Right. Yes. I've seen that before.
It's too bad my mom's not the guest. She loves the Game Show Network and game shows. Not that that's on PSN, but she loves Jeopardy.
She would know if Jeopardy's a traveling show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they just filmed, like, in Los Angeles or, but not in Los Angeles, like, maybe New York or. Their studios are, I imagine their studios are in Burbank. Maybe just like everyone's studios are in Burbank.
Maybe the test travels, and then if you get on, you have to go to the studio, but they're not going to make you fly out somewhere to see if you're smart enough to be on the show.
Right.
They could have someone do that anywhere.
Right. They have, like, testing in town places, so they travel in that way. Rose has been really stressed out, which is weird because Rose, like, I know you, so just info wise, Rose has been working at a TV station, and it's but she volunteers as a candy striper. And so we haven't seen her volunteer as a candy striper in like two seasons. But we've been seeing her at a TV station, which is a TV station that Dorothy was at.
So, yeah, Dorothy was a celebrity in the past.
That's what it made it seem like. Yeah. Like, we don't hire celebrities. And then, but Dorothy's not a celebrity.
Okay.
She's never been a celebrity. So, we're kind of jumping ahead. I'm sorry.
But sorry.
I think that's why so that was weird that he even brought that up.
Yeah.
You know, because Dorothy's...
I think I get it now that I know she wasn't a celebrity.
They're
but
calling
we can
her a diva.
Oh,
yeah, they're like,
know,
they're saying that we don't do it because they're not, because people won't root for them. Also, people won't root for you.
Right.
Like, they're just.
Yeah, that's what I got too. Is basically just like, yeah, we don't have, like, basically people that are established and known on the show. We have people that you root for. Like, I don't know, everyday slubs. So.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I just basically just restated what you just said, and
you woman-splained us.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I sure did.
Thank you.
Thank you. So Rose is stressed out, so they get her a puppy named Jake.
Yeah.
Great name for a dog, a human name. Jake is a German Shepherd, right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah.
I liked when Dorothy went to get it when she's like, oh, I'm so stressed. And she's like, I'm going. I'm out of here.
I'm fucking out of here. Well, she's like, oh, this reminds me of I just need somebody to talk to. All right, I got to get going. Rose takes a lot of shit. So they get her a dog because she's stressed out and the dog is more stressed, which is, I fucking hate it when people do that. Like when they give you a gift that is more stressful. Or somebody gives you a phone.
Yeah.
Or a dog. I had a guy. Or, what's that?
Or a plant.
Yeah. Unless you're into gardening.
Yeah. Or I'd also be way more willing to let the plant die than a dog.
Yeah. Don't let the dog die.
Personally. But
sorry, plants.
I'd give it a good go, but.
Attach the plant to your dog. That way, when you water your plant, your dog gets water, and then no one dies. There you go.
I could use a dog garden for sure. Yeah. I would take care of a dog garden.
Dog garden?
Yeah.
My garden's on my dog. I had a boyfriend once. That's one time I had a boyfriend, and he gave me a dog for Valentine's Day, and I was so mad.
You'd never expressed wanting a dog
before. I mean, I expressed my love for dogs.
Sure, that's
when
different.
When I saw a dog, I was like, oh my God, a dog. And I love dogs. But at the time, I was working full-time and going to school full-time. And I was fucking 21. Like, I did not want that kind of responsibility. Like, I just wanted to have a boyfriend and, like, get drunk and smoke pot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to... Now I have to... Luckily... There was enough people in the house to help with the dog. There was, like, my friend's mom was living there, and she took care of the dog most of the time. But I was, like, it was just fucked. I was just, like, so mad that now I had a dog.
Yeah, that would be.
It was terrible. And the dog was, like,
yeah,
digging up the backyard, and I couldn't train her properly. I didn't have the time to, like, train her in the house and, like, she would chew up the whole house if we left the house, if we left her by herself.
It's good that you recognize that, like, owning a pet is, like, a big responsibility. Like, I see that from all the time from someone. Like, there was somebody the other day that posted something on Facebook that was like, can I just leave my cat? I have this cat. I don't want to take care of it anymore. Can I just leave it in the street?
I saw Jesus. That. I saw that. She asked, is it morally wrong? To leave a cat out on the street.
Yes. Yeah.
Was there any? Yes. Was the reaction divisive at all, or was everyone like,
"Everybody
yeah,
was
you're
basically
terrible.
Like you're a terrible person"? But she was.
Everyone was like, "Yeah, it's morally wrong."
Yeah, I mean, they were like, yeah. "Morally wrong, morally wrong." Yeah, it's very wrong, especially if the cat, you know, the cat was a stray, and then she took her in, domesticated the cat, and then. Wants to get rid of it by putting it back out on the street.
Yeah, that's just a creepy way to kill a cat.
Yeah, like, that cat's gonna fucking die.
You're a cat murderer if you do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then she was like, oh my God, guys, don't jump down my throat. And I'm like, you kind of, you asked us if this was morally wrong and we told you. That's
yeah. But people were kind of like commenting, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. I don't think
she was asking, is it morally wrong?
Yeah. I don't think if you're just a little dense, I guess I don't see anything wrong with asking if you, yeah, you know, as long as you take the advice and
right. Take the advice. It's like, should I hit my child?
Yeah.
Should I spank my child?
It's like,
that's a loaded question.
You should know, but if someone doesn't, I guess it's not their fault.
That's why I don't want kids, because I don't want to hit them. And I might if I do, because I don't know.
There's no simulation for that situation beforehand. Right. I don't think I would.
But
I'm
afraid I would.
And like they say, you know, like I was abused and like, you know, they say that makes you more likely. I really don't think I would, but you know, maybe there's something that clicks. I don't think I would.
My mom would break the broomstick on my back. And back then it was made of wood.
Ooh.
In Mexico.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. It was crazy. She beat the fuck out of us.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, man.
Did
candy come out of you?
It did. Candy came out of me. I might have to steal that, by the way. It's so good. I might have to steal that. It's so funny.
I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry for a joke I'm trying out tonight. Okay.
I'm sorry that happened to you, but yeah.
It was worth it now.
It's worth it now because I can make fun of it.
Well, yeah. Got a joke out of it.
So she's got this German Shepherd and it keeps reminding her of Rusty. And this is important because she keeps bringing up Rusty. And everyone's so tired of hearing about Rusty. Sophia's like, is there a candle? Can I pour hot wax in my ears? Like, this is so unbearable to everybody that you're going to go through physical pain to not hear about this shit. The docs. And also another running joke is the dog stealing Blanche's slipper, which is like a Barbie slipper turned into a person slipper size. It's like
it's from the Mammy Van Doren collection. So, I think she was kind of she was like a sluttier Marilyn Monroe.
Does she still make clothes or she die or what?
She's still alive. She's she's still alive. She's from that era, but she was a little bit vampier than like Marilyn Monroe, but kind of along that same vein. Yeah.
I can imagine what she looks like in my head.
Yes. Yeah.
So then Blanche chases after the dog. Then Dorothy says, look at man's best friend chasing man's best friend.
That was pretty good.
Solid burn. Solid burn, Dorothy. I think around this time, it's so like the first scene is always full of slut jokes. Always. And I fucking love it because a guest that hasn't seen the show before is like, what is happening? These old ladies.
Yeah, you know, back to a show that old, but yeah, they're like really good slut jokes. So it's they're fun.
And then the next scene, it's like a really short scene. Great. They're in the hospital. Rose is in the hospital in her Kenny Schreiber uniform, and there's like a woman in bed, and I guess she's like terminally ill, and it's weird because like Rose is like, this dog is supposed to make people happy, but the dog, she just got the dog that day. Like, you already trained the dog to make people, sick people happy. Like that was kind of weird to me that the dog had like a job day one of being owned.
They also have to go through like a pretty rigorous training course because my sister's dog went through that. Yeah. And he passed, but they asked him not to come back because he was too excited around the old people, and it stressed them out.
Even so after the training?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's like going through EMT training, and then they're like, you actually are kind of loud in the ambulance. Can you not come back?
So I don't even know if there's any insinuation of training in this episode, because I think at the when she gets the dog, they start talking about how, like, oh, it could be helpful with the patient. I'm going to bring it over there because dogs will make people happy. So it could have just been, like, a bad dog, too, that just barks all the time.
Just like any...
Not bad dog, but not good for being around terminally ill people.
But this dog is, like, never barked once. It was, like, a lassie. It was just, like, this... already trained dog. Like, obviously it's like a cop dog.
Yeah,
that's why, like, they were just like a German Shepherd. Come on, they just went to like Burbank PD and borrowed a dog for a day. They that dog was doing drug bust the night before.
They're like, you got any of those cop dogs?
And so it's Mrs. Hubbard who's dying, I think, right? Grace Hubbard or whatever. And her husband is there. And, like, he's like, she hasn't smiled in years. Or she's been, not years. She's been dying for years. But she hasn't. So it's a shitty situation. And we already know from even watching this first scene that she's going to die. This lady's going to fucking die. And so the next scene is the classroom. They're at WSF TV, worst establishing shot ever. We've seen this one before. It's just an empty, it's a TV station with an empty parking lot and then like trees that aren't moving. There's this like a photograph. And, like,
yeah, it's like somehow gotten grimmer since the last time we've seen it. So.
Yeah, everyone is not allowed to park anywhere near the building. It's against the rules of this TV station. And so they're doing testing. So Blanche is there because Blanche has a hots for Alex Trebek, and she's like trying to pass the test with Dorothy, and she's trying to like flirt with the guy next to her. Like this very studious PhD guy. Like she's like toying with his pencil, with her pencil.
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Yeah. Yeah. Blanche, you're a hot mess. So that's, oh, and the guy like literally turns around like his entire desk so she would leave him alone. I don't know. It doesn't seem like that guy would get laid a lot. I think he should have gone for it at the very least, because he didn't get picked. I don't think so.
You didn't see him in the next scene with the, or that later scene?
Well, like, I thought it was the three people up there. No.
There were more in the seats. They were the last round of it.
Oh, okay. So everybody got to go up.
Well, no, 10% who take the test get to go to the next round. That's what he said at the beginning of their test. And then, so that group that was there, the people sitting behind him, they all had already gone up.
So he could have been there.
He could have been in that group, but you could, detective work could find out. But
I could find out, but I'm not going to.
I don't blame you.
Okay, so then, so the next scene, I wrote phone that doesn't ring. Oh, Dorothy's waiting for the phone call for Jeopardy to call. And Blanche is like, aren't you used to hanging around a phone that doesn't ring? Fucking burn, bitch, what? The dog, Jake, finds her slipper. Probably because it's full of cum and it knows how to smell human fluids.
It was a police dog in the cum department.
In the cum bring the cum dog. Find that cum, German Shepherd.
It can find the suspect based on smelling his cum.
I know.
Don't you think that would be a cocker spaniel?
I also liked the story about the old dog. It was very funny, the just how ridiculous that got of the fire, how he went back for the TV.
Yes. Oh, did I skip that, or was that this scene?
That's when they first get the dog.
No, when they first get the dog. That reminds me of Rusty, my dachshund, that saved... Did he save the family?
He dragged all the family out. He saved the cat.
And even the cat Scruffy, which no one even really liked anyways. But a dachshund saving everybody, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I think so. But it
That's
died.
Badass.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it probably broke its back carrying that TV. And like it got smushed. And it burned alive.
Speaking of irresponsible pet owners, I don't think they should have let it go back in.
Yeah. It really loved TV, guys. Come on.
It was a color TV. It was new.
It was brand new. Yeah.
He had to watch his Jeopardy.
So there is that political joke. No, it's not this scene.
In the first scene where they get the dog too is when they do the joke of he can find anything, and she's like, "Go get a viable Democratic candidate," and that was relevant.
It was very relevant. And it's 1992, so wasn't it the election that year for Bill Clinton?
Was it 92? You said
I think so.
Yeah, then that would have been Bill Clinton.
Yeah, so they were making fun of Bill Clinton.
Because W was 2000.
Right, but it's February, so Bill Clinton, so the Democratic nominee wasn't even announced at that time because that's summertime. So right now they're like looking for Bill Clinton, and he wasn't.
No, he would have been running at this point, I think.
Yeah, he would have been.
So
he would have been running for the nomination. We're so smart guys. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're like adults.
We figured it out. Yeah.
We should be in Jeopardy is all I'm saying. And so the next scene, Dorothy's studying like crazy. She's just like fucking like, she's like, what do you call that? Like cram studying. Cram session?
Cramming. Cramming. Yeah.
But there was
cranberry sauce.
Cranberry
sauce? I have a different cranberry kind of sauce. Cram session.
You're crash studying. Isn't that what it was
crash
called?
Crash studying?
It's crash studying.
I believe it.
I haven't been so out of school that I don't remember what it's called when you study all night.
Cramming is absolutely a used term for studying.
Cram studying.
Yeah. Because you're cramming it all into your brain at the last minute instead of learning it over time.
Right. Which is the best way to learn something, honestly.
Over time or cramming it all?
Cram studying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not to learn it long term, but to pass a test. It's the best way to learn it.
Yeah. Don't go to college, anybody listening. So Blanche is like, thank God I was pretty and I'd never had to study, and like she did when she was crazy. Sophia kind of makes fun of her for like being a nerd, but also like getting banged up. What did you call it? Getting knocked up, banged up. Getting banged up. Getting knocked up in high school.
And this baby banged up in me.
Yeah.
I mean, both aren't great, to be quite honest. But
so.
Yeah.
So she makes fun of her for that because it kind of sucks that she could have, I don't know. I mean, she chose to be a mom and a wife and. And that back then, that's what happened. Did you ever watch Mona Lisa Smile? All those girls were really smart, and they all got married and had kids. That's what the point of Mona Lisa. Did you ever watch that?
I never saw that.
You never watched it either?
I think Genevieve
did. I saw it.
You saw it?
Okay. I saw it.
I did not.
I saw it in the theater. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like this art history class.
I saw it in the theater on a terrible date.
I think it was like Julia Roberts was like Terminator and she went into the past and she saw all these girls that were really smart And
Does she really traveled in time in that movie?
No, not really in the movie. But it's almost like she's from 2005.
It was like the Terminator. Showed up on Wellesley's campus naked. And so.
Right. Because everybody knows the norms of the 50s and follows them. You go to college as a woman and then you get married and have children. But she goes to this college to teach and she's like, what is happening? This shouldn't be happening. This is weird.
Was she from abroad or from the States? And she just was like, F this.
I don't know. Maybe she was from, I need to rewatch it. But like, I think she was just like very liberal and was like, you girls need to have careers.
She's pretty liberal. I will say like Wellesley is like one of the like top end colleges for women, and especially back then. Like, that's where Hillary Clinton went,
I believe.
I'm 95% sure of that. But, so I don't know. It wasn't, but it's still, you're right. Yeah, she was very shocked. You're like, what do you mean you guys want to become wives?
Yeah.
Like,
what do you mean?
95% of everyone in your generation. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, maybe, what if Hillary was taught by Julia Roberts back in the day?
You know, I never thought of that.
Until we hypothesized it. The
Terminator Julia Roberts.
Terminator Julia Roberts, man. So as soon as Sophia leaves, Dorothy just like falls asleep on the chair. Like she's just like, we go into this dream-like Jeopardy world where Rose is in the panel. She's one of the contestants. And also Charlie Diaz. Is that how you say it? Do you know who this is, Genevieve?
Oh, yeah. He's the he's Charlie from Empty Nest. He's the neighbor. He's the neighbor on Empty Nest, but
yes!
He hasn't been in Golden Girls. And he's like a cruise ship. Captain or something like that. He's like a cruise ship captain. Pilot, right. Yes.
How did I forget this? Oh, man. I don't know.
No, and he's also I believe that actor is also Joe Isuzu. He's to be the Isuzu guy, the spokesperson on commercials. But yeah, he was he's into babes. He's always talking about women and
he's a womanizer. Harry. So for some reason I thought he was like a celebrity like guest star. I was just like, I can't remember who he is. But yeah, he's in the show, he's the neighbor of the Golden Girls.
Okay.
And it became a spinoff.
He had a spinoff?
Yeah, Empty Nest is a spinoff. So yeah, so Charlie's in there. So they introduce Rose and Dorothy's shocked that Rose is on the show, and the announcer's like, at least she didn't get knocked up in high school. great burn announcer. And then like Dorothy writes her name like a child. Like I noticed, like did you notice that, Genevieve, at all? Like Rose's name, no, Dorothy's name was kind of, it was like block letters. And then Rose wrote her name like a serial killer.
Yeah, the claim is brilliant. People have like really sloppy handwriting.
Is that what it is?
I think it's loose. It's like Einstein had really sloppy handwriting. So people are like, I have sloppy handwriting. I'm really smart too. And then it's just I think it's just coincidental. Yeah.
I'm in the sloppy handwriting club.
Me too.
I have handwriting basically like the end of Awakenings, like when they're like going back into the disease and they can't write anymore. That's my handwriting.
Maybe it's like people who are stupid are like, well, if what I'm writing is gonna be so stupid, at least it better be beautiful. And that's why they have good handwriting. So people are like, teachers who read it are like, well, this was garbage, but It was really nice to look at. But roses. Yeah,
I remember getting in trouble for like not having very good penmanship in school.
Yeah, me too. I did not.
That's a bizarre thing to get in trouble for. I had terrible writing, but that's. Yeah. I got in trouble for not putting my name on.
Well,
the
they
top
would
of
just
assignments.
Write on the corner. Handwriting is bad, or bad handwriting, or something. Oh. So you would try to like. My handwriting would be really good at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and then my hand would get tired, and then it got really ugly and sloppy. Did that ever happen to you?
Mine would start bad.
Just always bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine was shitty at the beginning, now that I remember. And so.
You just changed your story to fit in?
No, because I remember. Because I want to fit in, guys. No, I remember
oh,
just
man,
like...
Oh, man, yeah. You basically just like, you've kind of, you've covered up in your mind all your troubles with your handwriting, and now we're bringing it out with this
now
podcast.
Now we're bringing it out with the podcast. My issues. You could probably look at all the notebooks I have there and look at my shitty handwriting. Look at this. Can you read
You repressed
this?
Your handwriting and remembered getting hit on the back of the broomstick. I know. This is
candy, and candy coming out of me.
We're revealing a lot of repressed memories today.
Well, they would write in a corner, just like, work on this. They would write penmanship.
I can read it. In general, I'm bad at reading cursive, and some of it's cursive.
Is
like,
it cursive?
A little,
cursive?
Like the J to the J, E to the A, for sure. It's a mix, which is common, I think.
Yeah. And I misspelled Jeopardy, too. How embarrassing. And so the topics, the categories are, in this dream sequence, cows, babes, chickens, more cows, and other farm-related things.
Chicken babes.
Chicken babes.
Baby chickens.
And baby chickens.
Which is very Rose. Like, Rose is going to win all these. But then... So Rose and Charlie ended up winning this round, but nobody got like kicked out, like moving on to Double Jeopardy.
That isn't no one does.
No one gets kicked
out?
No,
not even in final. No, it's three contestants still final Jeopardy.
Into the very finals.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I need
But you can be basically screwed. Like how it ended up with the final Jeopardy, she had a runaway. She had no reason to lose by betting the
runaway. She had a runaway.
Which means if she would have just bet because the next highest person had 300 and she had 4,200. If she would have bet 3,800, she couldn't have lose. Or no. You'd have to go to above 600. So she would have had to bet 3,400 and then she couldn't lose.
So she was stupid for betting.
Yeah,
the
wager is where they get you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't even matter if you're smart or not. It's luck and waging and...
The wager is important. I think there was a guy recently who came on Jeopardy because before it was that Ken Jennings, I think.
Yeah.
Who was just great. He just got everything right. He was smart. And then this other guy came on with more game theory of like pick of strategy of which squares to pick. I think the double Jeopardies tend to be in the bottom two rows. He was aware of that. And so he'd go fishing for the double Jeopardies and wager everything. And like it was a totally.
So he was playing chess more than
Jeopardy
than knowing stuff.
Yeah, he also knew stuff.
And that's
like,
how he got beat?
No, he's like the him and Ken Jennings are like the two best. I think Ken,
they weren't battling.
No, they were
at
different times. I think they might have gone against each other later, and I don't
They've
know.
They definitely fucked.
They're married now. So.
Aww, that's so cute.
Yeah.
I bet Ken Jennings like is the crier in their relationship. There's always a crier.
I don't even know the other guy, and I'm gonna be like, yeah.
So then the second Double Jeopardy was like really smart shit. It was like the topics were like electromagnetic phenomena, Roman law, like I can't even remember. They were ridiculously smart topics like Pythagorean theorem theories.
Yeah, like neuroscience.
Yeah. And so, yeah, like, what is the speed of light was, like, the answer to one of them.
Dorothy goes 1,000 across the board, which you're not allowed to do, but would have been very impressive.
How can you even do that?
I mean, you could do them one at a time, but because you'd have to preclude that you're going to get them all right. You're going to get them right. And yeah.
I think they established already that this was a dream. And yeah. Like, right. So basically, Dorothy was abiding by dream law, which means she's, you can do whatever you want. So,
yeah, do you think she... in her mind changed it into double Jeopardy and made it more categories after she, like, to her knowledge, once she was told it's a dream, she can do whatever she wants, or was
like, maybe she just got topics that she was researching that night,
yeah,
in her dream world, and that's why she won. And it was really, yeah, so the dream law is not really any kind of law. The final Jeopardy was the question, who is buried in Grant's tomb? And I didn't know that was a joke.
Yeah, I used to read joke books like crazy when I was a kid, and one of them was like, who's buried in Grant's tomb? Grant.
So that was in every joke book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, was that an old joke?
Like, yeah, that was always one. I'm like, that's stupid because it is Ulysses S. Grant or whatever.
Right.
And so it's like, it's.
That's so great that you remember that. I like.
Very useful.
Yeah. It came
like a very, like, double bubble kind of joke. Like, yeah. One of those, like
a popsicle stick joke.
Another one was like, what color was, like, Jefferson's white horse? I'm like, white. I mean, then right. I read it, and it's white. It's like, well, duh. But right. I didn't get any. There were a few jokes like that where I was like, eh, it's a stupid trick. But,
I hate trick jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then there was a debate. Well, Charlie Diaz drew a dude, mm-hmm. which is wrong. And then Rose wrote Cary Grant, and which was at the end the right answer. And then Dorothy wrote Ulysses S. Grant, which pretty much are the two famous Grants. There's no other two Grants.
No.
One of them had to be
last
right.
Last name, yeah.
And then fucking Alex Trebek.
Who, Horace Grant, sorry.
Who
basketball
else?
Player.
Oh, yeah. Was he famous then?
Huh? Horace Grant?
In 1982?
No, you're right. Okay. Wait, 92?
Maybe
in college.
Famous baby?
Huh? So no, not at the time. I forgot about the time. Don't I look silly?
No, we are winging it. I'm winging this. It's fine. So Alex Trebek, who, by the way, looks really young, and yeah, I would want to fuck him if I was Blanche.
He looks great. Yeah.
Yeah. Super good. And he's like, well, like, why don't we ask Merv Griffin, the guy that created the show? And Merv Griffin comes out. And like, yeah. And that's when they do the Trump joke. Like, you're amazing. You're wonderful. Charismatic. You're like the opposite of Donald Trump. Was that the joke?
The anti-Trump. Yeah, which is so
good.
Yeah, especially in just, yeah, like, not, they don't need to say Donald Trump or anything. It was so just on the nose for now.
Yeah, I was just like, dang. You called it, fucking B. Arthur, or whoever said, B. Arthur is the one that said that joke, right? Or
that's Dorothy?
Did Dorothy say that?
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah. So, you called it, B. Arthur. I know you're dead, but you knew what's up. You knew what was up.
She would not be happy with this future.
Oh, no.
At all. Yeah. No.
But she's a frowner. I think she would be happy being angry. She was just one of those people that are, like, at home being pissed. So then she won. Dorothy won. I forget how she won. But I just remember her.
It was also funny when Merv Griffin came on and they're like, she's like, no, it was Cary Grant who was buried there. Ask him to be seen there. And then he points to the stick figure drawing like that.
Yeah.
It was a picture of Cary Grant. That was really
as seen on that lovely portrait.
Yeah.
Cary Grant, just like this. Just like with his hands out.
I just love that he just, like, panic drew a figure. Like, that's my favorite.
It took him, like, 30 seconds to draw that. Like, that's a long time to draw Cary Grant as a stick figure.
And while we were while we were watching, Anthony pointed out that it was obviously before like Celebrity Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live, and that was kind of a gag they took with the like drawing something and like that made no sense or inappropriate too.
Yeah, because at first I was like, I thought that middle guy was a celebrity that we didn't know of, but it was just the neighbor, and so I was just like, oh wow, they're really spoofing Celebrity Jeopardy, but or you know, making us. Or a rendition of that, but I guess not. It was just people that Dorothy knew. And so, yeah, but it was like, oh, did maybe an SNL writer watch this episode and was like, you know, it just kind of stuck with him. Who knows? SNL, you're a hack, is what I'm trying to say. Okay. So then the next scene, so Dorothy won. She's like, I won, like just excited. And then it was a dream, though. And then we go to the hospital, and this was kind of like a shoot-in scene. Like we didn't have any, like no one was kind of really sad that Mrs. Hubbard died, like, which is kind of normal. Also, in a way that when someone dies, people don't deal with it right away, and they deal with the logistics part of death. It's like, well, where are we gonna bury her? You know, like, did you call the funeral home? You know, and they just try not to think about the emotional part. They're just like, well, you know, who's gonna move her car? You know, so that who's in that way, in that way, it seemed real to me. But also Rose didn't really know her that well. But the dog was kind of like, I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb, say the dog killed her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ripped her throat.
She took a turn for the worse when the dog ripped her throat out. she just couldn't fight it anymore.
She couldn't control her lust for murder. that Jake.
Oh yeah, it's a boy.
Oh, yeah, it's a boy. So then Rose is like, can you take care of the dog? Because I know that you have to deal with your wife's like burial and her death and the funeral arrangements, and you have all these bills now that you have to deal with, but do you want this dog? Sure. If you don't mind, I'll take it. Like, he just takes a dog. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was because she loved the dog a little, right? So, wasn't the idea of her being selfless to get, because he liked the dog too, so it's not, so he's not lonely like John Wick?
Sure. I think we could agree on that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. But I agree. It's just I would not want a dog after my wife died.
But the guy wanted the dog.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, he was just like, yeah, I'll take her. I don't have a wife now. I need something to fuck. Even though he murdered my wife. So she says, cats are people too, to the dog. And that's how the scene ends. The next scene is fifth wife of okay, so this is the pretend run through of Jeopardy in back in the classroom. And so Dorothy's really cocky and she's fucking killing it. She's being just super braggy about winning, and she's kind of shitting on the other contestants.
Has to be told to shut up twice.
What's that?
Has to be told to shut up twice.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that on TV. Nobody wants like Ken Jennings was modest, you know, like he was just like, yeah, whatever.
I'd seen on Twitter, like in the last few months, there was someone who was winning who was being like kind of arrogant and like a shithead, like kind of a bro type guy, I think, like he was a bartender or something, but that was like his general vibe was like bro-y, and people were hating it, like that he was arrogant when he won and stuff. So I think they were pretty spot on. That
he was a Dorothy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's true. Maybe this is based on like someone's real life experience of like, or being in that room of like, somebody not getting chosen because they were just like doing the suck it. Like. He's like, booyah! What? Doing like a dance. Yeah, okay. I get it, Jeopardy. At first I was like, there's no way that that's a thing, but I can see it now.
Yeah, someone's just like just toxically unlikable or something. But
very smart.
But I feel like you like seeing like really smart people, but who's to say?
I guess Alex Trebek's to say. Or that guy. Merv Griffin.
Oh yeah, or that guy. I didn't know Merv Griffin created Jeopardy before.
I didn't know that's, either. Is that real or is that a dream thing?
It seems like a thing to make up, but yeah, just because he's very a popular man at the time, it could be that.
Genevieve, do you know that Merv Griffin really invent Jeopardy?
Yeah, he was the creator. He's the creator of a lot of the game shows.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's pretty powerful. I think he created maybe Match Game and other game shows I can't remember.
Probably Secret Word.
That makes sense because Bob Hope owned everything too. I feel like actors were.
He had his hand in all the cookie owned pots.
Stuff for a while, and then
he has a road down here.
Mm-hmm.
He has an airport. Yeah, that airport was a game show. That's how it started. Who's smarter than a pilot? The other two contestants are like neurosurgeon, and the other one was like a astrophysicist or something, and like the questions were like. The one I remember that I wrote down was like something about the Book of Genesis.
Yeah.
And then
when you said the category, she's like, you shouldn't have wasted all that time studying evolution.
Yeah.
Saying Darwin.
Yeah, with Darwin. And the woman's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Shaming her for studying.
Shaming her science. So then... everybody with a flyer gets to move on to the stage, but Dorothy doesn't, and she doesn't get a flyer, and she's like, excuse me, why didn't I get a flyer?
I don't want anyone to lose their job, but missing a flyer over here. She's such a dick about it.
She's such a dick. And then and the guy's like, no one's going to root for you. Like, we've been down this road before, kind of conversation. Like, you're very unlikable. And then Sophia's like, people didn't want you on their something, and they don't want you in their living rooms. I forget what it was.
People don't want you at their birthday parties.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a weird problem for like a 23-year-old to have.
Yeah.
Or whatever, she was in college, like 20 years old. It's not that bad.
I wanted to go to birthday parties when I was 23. But I was too busy doing... Yeah, I was doing comedy.
Yeah, but reporting to your mom on getting... Like, your mom knows you don't get invited to birthday parties when you're like 9 and 10 or something.
Yeah, but not 23. You're going to tell your mom, like, hey, Ma, listen, there's a lot of birthday parties that I want to go to that people aren't inviting me to. Listen. You
call their moms.
Yeah, call their moms and let them know that that's not cool. So she doesn't get in, and then like Sophia offers her a lifesaver. She's like, "Shut up, Ma!" And is that how it ends?
I think that's pretty much.
It just ends with her not getting on Jeopardy, and then
Rose loses her dog. Rose in the very last scene
during the credits,
basically. During the credits, Rose bores a patient that is heavily bandaged who tries to run away from her, from out of their hospital bed.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's about to tell the dog story.
Yeah. My dog Rusty reminds me of my dog Jake, which I just lost. And the guy who's like in a full body cast starts to like get away from her. da 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 da. And I think that's it. Did we cover everything? I think so.
I think so.
All right. It was a puppy sode. Yay. Yeah. At least we got to see a dog. Dogs are always fun on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a pretty great dog.
Yay. Okay, so this comes out this Wednesday, the 6th of December. Is there anything you would like to promote, Zach? Or
do you think you have listeners in Michigan?
Yeah, we get listeners all over the U.S.
Oh, man. Come see me open for Kurt Metzger this Friday.
Where at?
And Hamtramck at Small's Bar.
That's so cool. Mm. Is that in Michigan?
Yeah.
Dude, that's sweet.
And also on Saturday with just a bunch of regular nobodies. In Detroit.
In Detroit?
Yeah.
Nice. Is that where you're from?
Yeah.
Cool. Yay. No. Fantastic.
Nice.
Cool beans. So you guys go to Detroit, and or if you're in Detroit, check out Zach Stein. And where are you online?
Twitter at @HackStein, @_Stein, and Instagram at @JewishFeet. No explanation.
Yeah. You look into it. There's nothing that's going to be explained. So thank you so much, Zach.
Thank you for having me.
And Genevieve, where are you going to be after December 6th? And where can people find you online?
All right. Well, December 8th, we're going to be having the Top and Bottom Tour featuring our very own Anthony DeSimito and Carmen Morales. It's going to be at my house and right here in Phoenix. And then I'm going with you guys to Bisbee on December 9th at the Quarry. And then December 10th, we're going to be at Borderlands Brewery. So, yeah, should be fun.
Yeah, wonderfully said. Yeah. So you guys check out the Top and Bottom Comedy Tour this week. It's me and Carmen Morales. And on top of that, no pun intended, December 7th, we're going to be kicking off the tour in Yuma, Arizona at 8:30 with openers Leslie Barton and Michael Paul Cohn. And it's in Yuma, Arizona in my mom's backyard. Mm. Seating
Oh, nice.
Curtis. Yeah, it's going to be so crazy. All my friends from high school are coming, and I haven't seen them in years. Some of them have never seen me do comedy. And so seating is provided by my mom's hoarding, and I am just stoked, and I'm so excited for this tour. It's going to be fucking great, and I want to keep doing shows in my mom's backyard because she was pretty stoked about the seating, and I hope the show's great. So thank you everyone for listening. The next episode that we're doing is season 7 episode 18, and I forget the title. I think it's called Broomstick Piñata. And yeah. Yeah, it just kind of went all and came together at the end. And the music is by Brian Kogernick and Mike Dennison. We are also on Twitter, and along with our own individual Twitters, we're at Thank You For Being A Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP, at TIFBAP, also at TIFBAP on Instagram. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Zach, for being here and being amazing. Thank you. And thank you, Genevieve, for being a co-host. And thank you for being
a co-host.
Oh,
thank you both for being co-hosts with each other.
Yay. All right. Have a good night, people. Bye.
Bye.
Gonna stuff a chicken.
Gonna stuff the chicken.
Like my mama taught me.
Like my mama taught me.
Gonna take the chicken down to Mississippi.